Now at noon, thousands of East Bay residents still under evacuation orders right now after a fallen power line sparked a fire threatening a natural gas pipeline. Good afternoon. I'm Kenny Choi.
And I'm Michelle Griego. That fire was first reported just before 9 last night in the area of Poinsettia and Sassoon Avenues in Bay Point.
We have team coverage this afternoon. Chopper 5 over the charred area just moments ago. KPIX 5's Jackie Ward has been with evacuees all morning long in Concord. Anne Makovic is at the command post in Pittsburgh. Let's go to her live with the very latest. Anne.
And we just learned that firefighters are about to go on to the site of this utility vault that has been burning all night because the fire at this point is pretty much out. They found it safe enough at this point to move their crews in there. Otherwise, just like the 4,000 people who were evacuated, their crews have also been kept away from the area. That's why you didn't see a lot of action there in that chopper video we just showed you. So they're going to need to go in there and figure out how much damage is done before they even start the investigation into how this fire started. This drone video provided by the Pittsburgh PD shows a utility vault in Bay Point on fire overnight. Under that vault, a 12-inch high-pressure natural gas line at risk of exploding.
It was realized very quickly that there was a high probability of danger.
That's when officials evacuated 4,000 people in 1,400 homes within a half-mile radius of the vault, which is owned by Chevron.
The evacuation order is going to hold until we get all clear from Chevron.
The trouble started at around 6 p.m. with a grass fire in the area. That cause is under investigation, but neighbors reported two birds running into power poles. An hour later, reports of a fire in the nearby vault, fed by a small feeder gas line that had sprung a leak. Fire officials monitored the progress from above.
That drone is capable of detecting a heat source and give it temperatures.
As Chevron cleared out the natural gas in the larger line and flushed it with nitrogen to quell that fire.
Our number one priority is the community, the people of this community, for their safety and the environment.
So once firefighters are able to go in there and figure out exactly how much damage was done, it could happen very quickly that these evacuations could be lifted. So feasibly within an hour, the 4,000 people who have been evacuated may finally be able to begin returning to their homes. Live in Pittsburgh, Anne Makovic, KPIX 5.
All right, so to reemphasize, at this hour, evacuees are still waiting for word when they'll be allowed to return. KPIX 5's Jackie Ward continues our team coverage.
It was a long night and morning for a lot of people here. There are 150 cots inside. They are all full. Some people even had to resort to sleeping in their cars with their pets.
I was awoken by sheriffs knocking at the door, telling us it was a mandatory evacuation, that there was a pipeline that may explode and we had to get out immediately.
This mother of five tells me she's never been through something like this before.
I had to wake them and try to give them a brief explanation why we're running out of the house. Hearing that a gas pipeline is so close to my house, I didn't even know that. And so very scared and worried for my neighbors.
Fortunately for Danica and about 150 other people who came to the Calvary Temple Church in Concord to seek refuge, the Red Cross quickly set up an evacuation center here overnight. Plus, a hot breakfast was served to everyone first thing in the morning. Pastor Jason Morgan hasn't slept since Tuesday night.
As people started to show up, we said, you know what, let's open up the lobby, and we got hot coffee and let them use the bathrooms and whatnot. And then we just started to get a very large influx of people that started coming in. In fact, people were just lined up out the door.
At 6 this morning, the Red Cross was able to set up a second refuge for people at the gymnasium of Los Medanos College in Pittsburgh. Before that, some people had to resort to parking in the Pittsburgh Bay Point BART parking lot.
It's a very intense situation, and people are under a lot of stress.
Because of all of this, the school here, Bay Christian School in Concord, is closed today, as is Willow Cove Elementary in Pittsburgh. In Concord, Jackie Ward, KPIX 5.
Social media giant Facebook is showing off what it calls its war room ahead of the midterm elections next month. It's located at the company's Menlo Park headquarters, and you can see it's filled with screens monitoring news, civic engagement, and unusual activity on the social media platform. About 24 employees, including data scientists and engineers, work to combat the spread of fake news, hate speech, and voter suppression. It also has investigators looking into more sophisticated and malicious activity. Facebook says it has disrupted foreign interference from places like Russia and Iran.
We have been hard at work for the last 2 years, so that includes cracking down on fake accounts. So as an example there, we have actually made huge advances in artificial intelligence and machine learning.
Since the 2016 U.S. presidential election, Facebook says it has ramped up its fight against election meddling by doubling the number of people working on safety and security from 10,000 to 20,000. KPIX 5 has you covered on all the state and local races for next month's election. We also have a guide to the California ballot measures on our website. Just go to kpix.com/election.
An unusual protest this morning in the South Bay. People wearing hazmat suits and masks blocked this Google tech bus near San Jose State. They say that Google is toxic, believing that the tech giant's planned mega campus downtown will drive low-income residents out of the city. Now, in the past, protesters have blocked tech buses in San Francisco and other Bay Area cities. We reached out to Google for a response, but have yet to hear back.
Turkey officials say their investigation into the disappearance of journalist Jamal Khashoggi should be complete soon. President Trump is now asking about their evidence. Reporter Angelica Alvarez has more details.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met with President Trump in the Oval Office after a trip to Saudi Arabia to discuss the disappearance of Washington Post contributor Jamal Khashoggi.
We made clear to them that we take this matter with respect to Mr. Khashoggi very seriously.
Wednesday, President Trump said one of his first questions will be whether Turkey is willing to hand over a recording that Turkish media reports proves Jamal Khashoggi was murdered and dismembered soon after entering the Saudi consulate in Istanbul on October 2nd.
I'm not sure yet that it exists. Probably does. Possibly does.
Saudi Arabia and Turkey have said they will wrap up their own investigations into Khashoggi's disappearance soon.
At which point we can make decisions about how or if the United States should respond to the incident surrounding Mr. Khashoggi.
Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin tweeted that he, along with President Trump and Secretary Pompeo, has decided against participating in an upcoming business summit in Saudi Arabia. Jamal Khashoggi had become an outspoken critic of the Saudi government, and freedom of the press was the topic of his last known piece of writing, which was published in the Washington Post this morning. Khashoggi wrote, "Arab governments have been given free rein to continue silencing the media at an increasing rate." He added, "The Arab world is facing its own version of an iron curtain, imposed by not external actors, but through domestic forces vying for power."
It's a chilling reminder to everyone, to the world, that speaking the truth can come at the ultimate price.
Saudi leaders deny any knowledge of what happened to Khashoggi. Angelica Alvarez, CBS News, the White House.
The New York Times reports that American intelligence officials say they have growing evidence that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman was involved in Khashoggi's disappearance.
In just the past few minutes, the San Jose Diocese released its list of priests and other church personnel who have been credibly accused of sexual abuse of children. The diocese is reviewing allegations of abuse dating back to 1981 when it split from the Archdiocese of San Francisco. Has also hired an outside firm to review those files. The church invited sex abuse survivors and parishioners to speak about the scandal at a listening session yesterday. And this statement just in from Bishop Patrick McGrath saying, quote, "I express my deepest apologies for the actions of those who are in positions of authority and who violated that sacred trust by abusing children." Today, the Archdiocese of San Francisco will also hold its own listening session on the clergy abuse scandal in the Catholic Church. That discussion starts at 5 o'clock at St. Stephen's Church.
PIX Now News is sponsored by Chevron, proud to support STEM education in the Bay Area. Meet our STEM standout, Nicole Collins-Puri.
TechBridge Girls is focusing on exciting, educating, and equipping girls to really see STEM as a vehicle to economic mobility and better life's chances. We're creating an environment that says, we see you, we hear you, and we understand your journey.
Chevron and KPIX 5, teaming up to support STEM education in the Bay Area.